Today is Saturday, the 1st of June, 2024, and we are gathered here for the Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium program. And I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, to today's program, representing Nisaravane Forest Monastery on behalf of all of us. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session as well as the live stream over Facebook. Our program will commence with the in-session practice guided by Bhante, and then we will proceed on to the talk on mindfulness on the scheduled topic for today. After that, we will end the session after a Q&A session. So I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante.
Hello, everyone. Today, we can do an activity related to mindfulness. For this, you need to gather some things, probably like a pen, piece of paper, some other things that you can grab quickly. Maybe like 5-6 things would be enough. So quickly gather them and we will start the activity when you are ready. If you are willing, it will be very nice to see you, the video on option for this activity. It doesn't have to be exactly the things that I mentioned. A pen, a piece of paper, something that you can grab quickly would be sufficient. Okay, I think you may have certain things gathered with you. So we will start the activity. This is simply the mindfulness in our daily tasks, doing various daily activities, how to be mindful and how to use these simple moments, simple activities to practice mindfulness. Okay, so first, if you take your palms like this, just rub them for a little bit. If you increase the speed a little, if you increase the pressure as well. So you can see the pressure there and the palms are warming up and your attention really goes to the palms of your hands, right? So this is just to, as a warm up, as well as just to give you an idea. Right, then if you take your fingertips with your thumb, you can touch the tip of each finger, right? Index finger, middle finger, ring finger, pinky. Notice the pressure. Notice how you are touching with your thumb when you put pressure. You can really feel it. Then the middle finger, ring finger, and the pinky. Shall I try both hands at once? Thumb and the index finger, the middle finger, ring finger, and the pinky. Right? So the thumb, it can put pressure, it can put force against another finger, right? But if you try other two fingers, you can't really do that, right? So this is one of the signs of evolution, right? It says a forcible thumb. You are able to put pressure against other fingers using the thumb, right? So when we work, when we do various activities, daily activities, we are using this opposable thumb a lot, right? But we are not attentive. That's the thing. For example, when you press buttons, you are using this ability. Whatever the tools that you use you use this opposable thumb. That's how you grab things. Now, for example, I have a pen here, right? Now, if you remove the cap of it, how are we putting pressure, putting force to remove that cap? Probably you're holding like this with the thumb and the index finger. And with this hand also, you are holding it and you are putting force, right? So that's how you remove it. And when you put it back again, the same mechanism, right? Now try it without the thumb. Can you do it? Both hands without the thumb. Can you try? Now you have to think. Now you have to calculate. Probably make some weird arrangement. All with your palm, probably. Right? So that way you can remove. But you get the idea how difficult it is without the thumb. Right? Now take the piece of paper. How are you holding it? The holding. Notice how you are holding. Notice the texture, temperature, the feeling of the paper. Right? Then let's try to write something on this. Again, be attentive. Now you are taking the pen, removing the cap again. And you are going to write something. When you're writing, you're holding the pen. How are you holding the pen? Notice the fingertips. Notice how and which parts are touching. And you are going to write something. For that also, you may need the thumb as well, right? We are holding the pen in a way and we are putting pressure, force with the thumb. Right, so these activities we do a lot, so many such activities we do daily, and probably holding a phone. You have a phone with you, not sure. Holding a phone, if it is a touch phone, then how are you going to type the typing? Usually, the frequent typers, they use the thumbs to type. And you can feel touch of the screen and how you are typing. Then maybe a remote, pressing the buttons, the thumb. With the thumb only, you operate these buttons. Right? And when you're holding the remote, you are holding with your palm and the fingers. Notice how it feels. Maybe grabbing a handle, a door handle, a window handle, something like this, right? So you grab it with your palm, you grab it with your fingers, you grab it, right? And after grabbing, you put force, you open, close, right? So usually these things, the handles are metal. When it is metal, you can feel the temperature difference. As soon as you touch it, the temperature difference becomes most prominent, right? Then probably the texture as well. Then you feel the force that you're putting, right? So that's another thing that we do. Frequent things that we are doing. What else? Can somebody else suggest something? Who else can suggest? Writing with a pen, the phone, remote controller, then grabbing a door handle, What else? What are such other activities? Yes, Tonali.
And they just the cup
Yes.
holding the handle of it.
Holding the handle, holding the cup. I have a bottle with me. So usually we grab like this. And you can feel the texture, temperature of the bottle. And if you are removing the lid, of course you have to put force. Right? So that's something. And again, when you're closing, you close it, you grab the bottle, you put it aside. The cups, as you mentioned, with the handle, you hold it. You may feel the temperature of the cup, texture of the cup. So those things become prominent. So the idea is that whatever the activity that we do, these simple, little tasks, right? We can feel these bodily sensations. Usually, we are not paying attention to these things. We do. For example, taking a phone and typing a reply. So it goes, right? Holding a remote, it goes, right? Pushing buttons of a remote. Without attention, it happens. Holding a door handle, opening, happens. Holding a cup of tea, happens, right? So these things, it's a good practice to bring your attention to these bodily sensations. The sensations of your palms, sensations of your fingers, right? So those things, it's a good habit to bring your attention to these sensations. Just for a moment. Not for a long time, you don't have to keep your attention there. But for a single tiny moment, you can bring your attention and notice that you're holding the door handle and you're opening it. You're pushing buttons of a remote. You're holding a pen, paper, and you're writing, right? For a single second, for a single moment, you bring your attention to these things, notice them, and simply continue with your process. Right, so these activities, the suggestion, the idea is that notice the bodily sensations related to that activity. You don't have to continuously notice. That's not an option. Probably it's not an option while doing these daily activities. But you can notice for a moment. Holding the door handle, you can notice that temperature difference for a moment. Holding a remote, you can notice that texture for a moment. Pushing a button, you can notice that sensation for a moment. Holding the pen, you can notice for a moment. So these things, these palms, these fingers, they are continuously at work. Continuously at work. So it's good to pay attention every now and then. Simply notice that you are starting this activity. You are using these fingers. You are using the palm, right? Even the feet, the sole of your feet, you may be feeling certain things, especially if you are not wearing shoes or slippers, if you are barefoot, if you are probably inside your house, you can really feel the different textures, different things. Maybe with feet also, we do certain activities. We put force not only for walking, other things also we do, right? So that way we can notice these bodily sensations. It's a good habit to bring your attention to the palms as well as the soles of your feet while doing these various activities. Just for a moment, notice the fingertips, notice the texture, temperature of your palm or the object you are grabbing. Right, so that way we train ourselves just for a moment how to bring attention to the body while doing something. Right, so that's a good habit for you to develop while functioning in your busy lives. You can simply notice these tiny sensations in your palms, in your fingertips while grabbing things, the temperature differences, texture differences. So those things could be noticed. So the idea is that when you do this, probably we can call it like bite-sized pieces of mindfulness. Just for a single moment, you are mindful. Next moment, you may have to run with the usual activity. That's fine. Again, just for a single moment, you are mindful. And then you continue with your usual activities. So that way, we are reminding ourselves to bring attention to the body while doing these simple, menial activities. Noticing the fingertips, noticing the palms, noticing the soles of your feet, right? So that's the idea for today. And you can see how we can relate this particular activity or the idea into today's topic as well, right? That we'll discuss later. It is very much related to today's topic as well, but the activity part, simply noticing the palms, fingertips, and how we are grabbing, holding things, buttoning a shirt, that's another thing, right? You need these opposable thumbs. That's how you can do, right? Buttoning, unbuttoning, those are a bit complicated processes. It needs a lot of training, rewiring of your brain. Now it is done, you don't even notice it's happening. But for a beginner, how to learn, probably for a child, how to button a shirt would be a whole new challenge, right? When they're learning. So they are learning the movements, learning the process, reprogramming their brains to do these type of activities. So these are very complicated activities, but without even attention, we are doing. Putting on your slippers, how complicated of an activity that is. Without even attention, you do it, right? You don't have to think. But if you, next time when you put on your slippers, notice how the feet goes in, right? Maybe with the toes, we are creating some like a motion kind of a thing. And that way only we can go into the slippers, right? So these things are very nice, so complicated, but we are not noticing because we are in this autopilot mode. We have different programming for each of these parts. For a practitioner, we recommend bringing attention to these tasks and notice how complex these functions are, how complex these movements are, and without even much effort, attention, the body is handling them. Right? So that's the idea. If you have any comments regarding this, we can take some time, few minutes, otherwise we are moving forward.
So if anyone has any questions, you can raise the Zoom hand and direct question to Bhante.
It's not really a question, Bhante, but I remember my father, who had a stroke a while back, was trying to regain all his normal functions and how he struggled with even getting food into his mouth. And a simple task like that. So it was just reprogramming, like you said. Yeah,
that's very true. When certain issues happen with our brains, maybe accidents or like strokes, things like that, where we have to relearn some of these functions. They are like programs in our brain. We have to relearn them. Relearning, it'll be a whole new adventure. Because you don't know how to do it. Buttoning a shirt. I have seen this documentary or something. That person, some brain damage due to an accident or something. Buttoning a shirt is a whole new challenge for him. Right? So he's taking this like an adventure kind of thing. How to button my shirt. And what are the complicated functions involved in it? You know, how to maneuver your fingertips, how to put force, right? How to unbutton them, right? It's funny how we do without even thinking, right? Complicated, complex processes. Even for meditators, sometimes these programs go away. at least for a while, right? So the slippers, putting on slippers becomes a really difficult task. You have to move each of your toe, making sure that, the foot goes into the slippers, right? Still, it is not properly placed. You have to use your hand to put in the slipper, right? So that way, you have to function. For a moment, for a few seconds, meditators also, they lose this programming and it returns. But during that time, it will be a whole new adventure, how to put on your slippers. So don't wait till a stroke to pay attention to these things. That's the very idea. So now usually we wait till that moment to return our attention back to these menial tasks. The idea is that although we can do it, although the functions are there, we can easily do, still it's worth paying attention to them. Notice the pressure, notice the texture, notice the fingertips. That way. Panchani, yes.
When things are a little bit stressful in the classroom, I go outside and feel the wind against my face. I found that really de-stressing.
Sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't get the initial part.
I said when things are a bit stressful in the classroom, I go outside and feel the wind against my face.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's something. These days here it's continuous rain, right? And windy. So although it's difficult for us to, you know, continue with the usual tasks, when it rains, you can really feel the weather against your skin, and the wind, you can feel it, right? So these moments simply grounds us into our body. And it helps a lot. It helps a lot. So that's the very topic in today's discussion as well. How can you let go of this heaviness in your mind by simply bringing your attention to the body or grounding into your body? So that's the very idea. Thanks for sharing. We'll discuss further in the talk regarding this one. Okay, now and with that, I think we can move forward.
Okay, Bhante, much merit for that insightful insertion practice. And next, we move on to the talk on topic chosen as schizophrenia for today. So I would like to invite Bhante again to commence a talk on mindfulness. I will share the screen for the topic and the image.
Okay, thanks, Namantha. So today's topic, we are starting a fresh topic. And it's a really interesting topic. And this is very much related to the new age life that we are living. Now, let me start saying this now. We value our thoughts, emotions too much, right? Usually when we work, when we function, when we deal with other people, we value our thoughts, emotions. We are valuing our thoughts, emotions too much. These thoughts, emotions, they are overrated, right? We think that's our whole life. That's our whole life. That way we think. Imagine a busy work day. Going into this day, you start thinking. You start, you know, dealing with your emotions. You function with your thoughts, emotions. So that way you do, right? And towards the end day, probably you feel suicidal, right? So many struggles in the day, so many arguments with the work people, so many family problems. And at the end of the day, you feel so much pressure, so much tension. You feel suicidal sometimes, right? So this is the very issue of valuing our thoughts, emotions too much. In this new age, people are valuing their thoughts, emotions too much. These thoughts, emotions, they are overrated. And that's the very source of mental illnesses that we face. this is a age of mental illness, right? The very reason for these mental illnesses are valuing your thoughts and emotions too much. Not, probably not bringing your attention to the body or the present moment, we can say, right? So in this new age, people are totally lost in their minds. They think continuously. They are emotional all the time. This way, they live their lives. Not just a day, not just a week. For decades and decades, this is how they function, right? So it's natural that we have so many struggles with our mental health these days. It is estimated by 2050, one-third of the population will be suffering with mental illness. By 2050, one-third of the entire population will be suffering with mental illness. Can you imagine how much a portion that is? Can you imagine the scale of that? Right? So that's where we are headed. That's where we are headed. Even in today's world, depression is the number one disability. That's the number one disability in this current world. And by 2050, one third of the entire population will be suffering with mental illness. Right? So you can see the scale of it and what are the results of these mental health pandemics. Now with the COVID, this has started peaking. This got a lot of energy boosting during that time. But now only we are seeing the real results of that. So in a way, we are heading into a mental health pandemic. In a way, we are heading into a suicidal pandemic, right? So that's the extreme of the mental health, right? So this depression, all these mental health issues, we are heading towards this type of a mental health pandemic, this type of a suicide pandemic, we are heading towards them, right? So in a way, what is the reason? What is the very reason? We are always lost in our minds. That very reason is making us ill, making us sick, make us forget the present moment. And usually we go away thinking without remembering the present moment that we live in. Right. So this is what's happening. That's the real issue in this new age. And during past couple of weeks, I got to visit few universities. And we did this mindfulness introduction program with the topic of mental health. And during those times, the lecturers, the teachers, they were sharing the current situation of those institutes. They are saying that the students, most of them are depressed. These exams, this pressure, they can't handle. They can't handle. Some of the children, during the exam times, they become bulimic. They can't even retain their food. They vomit it out, right? So these type of issues, even the teachers see, right? During the exam periods, these children, they become bulimic due to the pressure. They can't properly eat. They can't nourish their body. They are suffering with depression, stress, right? So this is how. And one of the universities, they were sharing horror, sad news, horror news. They were saying that one of the second years committed suicide a week ago. And this fellow, he went to a highway crossing and he jumped into the highway, targeting a vehicle. That's how he decided to take his life, right? So these things are real. These things are happening. Many of the students, they are suffering with stress, depression. Some are suicidal. Some can't handle their pressure. So this is how it is, right? In a way, we are valuing our thoughts, emotions too much. Too much. With that, various different issues come. Depression, stress, then can't handle your thoughts, emotions, all those things come. You become bulimic, you can't even retain your food. You become suicidal. And sometimes you start hearing voices, hallucination. Those things are also there, right? So that's the very idea. When you become schizophrenic, you hear voices. I have seen this very nice documentary. It's like a simulating a life of a schizophrenic person, right? And this person, he put on some headphones. And he has to deal with the usual day-to-day life. In these headphones, there are voices. There are voices. These voices, sometimes they are whispering. Sometimes they are very loud, screaming. Mostly related to the current activity. The present activity this person is doing, the voices are also related to that. So this presenter in that documentary, he is simulating the disease he's experiencing. He goes to buy a newspaper and while talking to the vendor, the voices are saying something else. So he can't even deal with the real person because the voices are disturbing him. And then he goes sit. Answer some questions, probably some interview or something, right? He can't write the answers because these voices are distracting him, suggesting something else, you know, commanding, sometimes whispering. So his attention is always distracted. Of course, this person's voices are in the headphones, but still the real patient, they'll hear these voices in their head. Right, so these things are real mental health issues, and you can't even imagine how much these patients suffer. You can't even imagine. After like for 20 or so minutes, that person is saying, this is really depressed. I can't wait to get these headphones off. Right, he knows that it's the headphones. He's saying that this is really depressing. I can't do. I can't function. I can't wait to get this off. That's what he's saying. But when you are, when the illness is real, you can't get rid of the voices by getting rid of the headphones, right? So that's the thing, right? So these things are real. A lot of people, they are suffering, and you can't even imagine how much these people, they suffer in their minds. You can simply get an idea, but the real suffering would be much stronger. When a person is depressed, if you have suffered with depression in a certain age of your life, you may have an idea how much of a burden that is, how much of an obstacle that is, right? So this is the life that we are living. This is the present world that we are living. So those universities, although they teach these students. They give a lot of knowledge. At the end of the day, maybe they fail as an institute. We fail as a system, right? So that's the thing. So it's high time that we find solutions to these mental health issues. That's really important. That becomes more and more important. If you start valuing your thoughts, emotions too much, you forget the present moment, you forget where you are living, and you are doomed in your mind. That's the reality. So all these mental illnesses, the very cause of these illnesses is valuing the thoughts and emotions too much, getting lost in our own mind, forgetting the life that we are living, forgetting the present moment, and we'll be lost forever. We'll be lost forever, and you can't even imagine the suffering that those people have to go through, right? So there could be a genetic part, genes, there could be a huge role that the genes are playing, but still your life patterns, your life habits, they matter a lot, right? So that's why those epigenetics, if you go and read them, you realize genes, they play a huge role. Nature, it is called the nature. But nurture also has a huge role, right? Nature versus nurture. So epigenetics, they are finding more and more details. Although there could be genes in our body related to these illnesses, the nurture part, the environment, the choices we make, it plays a huge role as well. So you can't really blame only the genes for these things. Your lifestyle matters. The choices you make matters, right? The friends, the environment that you are in matters, right? So in a way, we too are responsible for our own lives. In a way, we too are responsible that we are sick in our mind, right? So this is the very idea. Getting lost in our own thoughts, emotions, forgetting the life that we are living, forgetting the present moment. And when those thought processes become habitual, then you feel really lost in your mind. That's what happens when depression appears. It is not sudden. Gradually, it'll make your life darker and darker. Gradually, these thought processes, they become stronger and stronger, right? So gradually, they get you lost in your own mind, right? So it's a gradual process, becoming stronger and stronger little by little, right? So if you don't do something about it in the initial phase, then it would be really difficult for you to return back to the normal, right? So that's why mindfulness, most people, especially in the West, they think that it is a cure, right? That's the idea. That's why they suggest all those things, mindfulness-based, different techniques. They suggest it as a cure. But in our practice, this is a preventive measure, right? You don't have to get sick in order to practice mindfulness. Then it might be too late. Instead, we suggest this practice as a preventive measure. Even those universities, I told them that this is not a cure. We don't recommend this as a cure. Of course, it might help, but that's not our recommendation. Before you get sick, you do something about it, right? You prevent it. The mindfulness, the most effective way to use it, it's as a preventive measure. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Then it will be difficult for you to return to the normal. Right? So that's the very idea. When you start practicing, you are preventing your future mental illnesses. You are preventing the depression that might take you on at a later time. Right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea of the practice. Now, when we practice, we recommend, let's say for a beginner, we recommend that they bring their attention to the bodily sensations. That's our recommendation. While walking, we tell them to identify a prominent bodily sensation. While sitting, identify a prominent bodily sensation, maybe your breath or the belly movements of your breath. Even doing your daily activities, identify a prominent bodily sensation. That's the very guidance given. And repetitively bring your attention to these bodily sensations, the prominent bodily sensation that you have selected. You train yourself repetitively to bring your attention back to the body. That's the very training. So most people, they don't like this getting their attention to the bodily sensations. They prefer that I'm a meditator, I feel like emptiness, I feel like flying, all those things they are saying, even the beginners. There's a fellow here, he came a few days ago, whenever he's talking about his meditation, he's saying, I feel the emptiness, I feel like my body is floating, all those things, that's what I feel. That's his idea. Right, of course you might feel something like that, but that's not our priority. Right? Instead, simply ground yourself to your body and notice the sensations at your feet while walking. Notice the belly movements while being seated. Notice the texture, the temperature of different things, objects that you are touching with your palms while doing your daily activities. So that way you have to train yourself. That very foundation is important. Although these bodily sensations are simple, although these bodily sensations doesn't have much value, we recommend, especially a beginner, to bring their attention repetitively to the bodily sensations. What is the purpose of that? The very purpose is that your body is always grounded. Your body is always present. Whenever you have your attention with a bodily sensation, you are assured that your mind is present. That's the very idea. There is no real magic in the body. But whenever you feel bodily sensations, your mind is grounded. That's why we use these bodily sensations as the reference point of our practice. Whenever we practice walking, we use this bodily sensation as a reference point. Even the breathing, we use it as a reference point. Repetitively, we come back to this sensation. That's what we do. And when you start this, especially a beginner, they notice so many thought processes. They are so powerful. They take you away. You feel like a bird in a storm, right? Your mind is taking you away with so many thought processes. So you can see these thoughts, emotions, they are really powerful in a beginner. That's why they can't even come to the breath. They say, I can't even notice my breath. I can't even notice my steps. That's how they say. But when they train themselves again and again, they start to feel at least the breathing for a couple of times. At least a couple of steps they can catch. Still, the thought processes are so powerful, but this person knows where his attention should be. Right, so when we start practicing, we can really feel how strong these thought processes are, how much of a value we have given to them. It's an indication of the value that we have given to these thought processes. It's an indication of it's an indication how much ill we are in our mind, right? These thought processes, they are the source of our mental illnesses. These emotions, they are the source of our mental illnesses. So in a way, you feel how much ill am I in my mind. Now, a couple of weeks ago, one person was sharing their experience and said, I got distracted. I walked for 20 minutes, and during these 20 minutes, I got distracted for 19 times. Right, so that was their experience. For 19 times, I got distracted. At least now you have accounts. You know what's happening. So that's considerable improvement over your earlier condition. Right, at least now you know that you are distracted. At least now you know for 20 minutes, I got distracted 19 times. Right, so that's good. That's a start. You still feel that the thoughts are so powerful, the emotions are so powerful, it is difficult for you to ground into your body. But that's fine. You have to keep trying. This is not a task that you have to do within a day. Instead, every day, 15-20 minutes, you walk in a mindful manner, sit in a mindful manner. Repetitively develop the ability to ground into your body. And when you train like this, you become more and more skillful in it. You realize among the thought processes, I can return to my bodily sensations. That ability you will grow. Right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea. When we train ourselves repetitively, naturally, we become more skilled at bringing our attention to the body. That ability we develop. Even in your daily activities, you can try and experiment with this. That was the whole idea for today's activity. We do so many things. We start a work day, and towards the end day, we are totally lost in our mind. But if we again and again feel the body, moment to moment, these sensations, whenever you are grabbing something, feel the texture, temperature of it, whenever you push buttons of a remote, just for a moment, notice it. Whenever you are holding a cup, just for a moment, notice it. While you are typing on your computer or phone, notice the fingertips. So this way, little by little, we train ourselves to bring our attention to these bodily sensations. You don't have to stay with them continuously, especially during your daily life, but repetitively notice them. Bite-sized pieces of mindfulness. For a moment, you are mindful. Next moment, again, you are lost in your task. That's fine. Again, for a moment, you are mindful. Next moment, you may be doing something else. So that way, we train ourselves, we ground ourselves into our body. That training is important. That attention is important. Now, those university students, they are in a continuous rat race. Right, exam times, they are continuously in a rat race. Again and again, you know, trying to get these things done. And in the meantime, they forget their bodies. They forget the present moment. That's what happening to them. Right, so if they have this habit of grounding themselves into the body, then they may not feel so much stress in their mind. They may not feel so much ill in their minds. So that's the very idea. So after introducing this practice, we did like, it was a 1-hour program. in these different private campuses, right? Introduce mindfulness, do walking, sitting, and a small discussion. That's the structure the of the program. So we did a sitting session as a group, we did a walking session, and at the end we had a discussion. Multiple locations, this was the same structure of the program. So one of the universities, they have like probably like 300 children gathered in the lobby, and they all participated very eagerly. And during the sitting time, you can feel the wind going through this lobby, right? The natural air conditioning was very nice there. So it's in a hill or something, you can feel the wind going through the passage. And there's this rain falling outside. Then the Vesak period, no? So Vesak lanterns, they make noises in the wind. And there were some bells which were making noises with the wind, right? So that was the whole combination of that moment. The wind touching your skin, the wind making noises of those Vesak lanterns. There were some nice sounds from the bells due to the wind. And among all these things, we feel our body. Among all these things, we feel the breathing. So after the sitting session, when I got to talk to them, I told them that notice that moment. You could hear the sound of the rain. You could feel the wind flowing through this passage, touching our skins. You could hear the Vesak lanterns. You could hear those bells in the wind. So among all these things, we feel the breathing, we feel our body. This is the miracle of the present moment. Nothing else, nothing greater. Simply noticing this present moment, right? If you can notice it, you see it's like a miracle we are witnessing. All these things are happening and we simply witness it. We don't have to think about it. There's no value in thinking about it. Instead, simply witnessing this very moment. So there were like 300 people, 300 children, that type of a crowd. But you can even see their facial expressions change during that 20 minutes of sitting. They sit in a very tense manner, right? But when they sit for a while, we can see that the facial expressions are also relaxing. They become less tense in their body, and it's the appearance, the facial expressions become pleasant, right? So that's how it is. That's the change that's happening, right? Even within few minutes, even for the first time of your life, you can experience this. Most of these children, they were practicing for the very first time, right? They didn't know what they were doing when they started. But gradually, when they sit for a while, even their body relaxes. Their facial expressions relaxes. The mind relaxes, right? So this is the very idea of the present moment. This is the very miracle that we have to witness. In this today's world, we are thinking that those thoughts, they are the valuable ones. Emotions, they are the valuable ones. But if you really bring your attention to the body, you understand the value in the present moment. If you ground yourself to the present moment, immediately your mind relaxes. Your body relaxes. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. That's the very cure for the mental health issues that we are facing in this new age it's a huge challenge. This is the very way. This is the very idea. Okay, so you have to continue with this. You have to spread this message, even those children, when at a young age, they are totally lost. They don't know what they are doing. They are lost in that mechanism, right? It's like a huge machine that runs. They are just a part of that machine. Exams come, semester starts, semester ends, right? All those things happens. And they just become slave to that huge mechanism. But they have to understand the importance of their mental health. And the way to improve is simply to ground into the present moment. That's the very idea. That way, if you continue, I don't think you'll face mental health issues like the majority of the society, right? Initially, we may have to take it slow, but with time, we can develop that ability. With time, we can be healthy in our minds. That's the very idea. So that's today's quote as well. The worldly drowns in the same waters in which the noble swims in delight. Right? So that's the very idea. The worldly people, they drowns in the same water where the practitioner swims with delight. Right? Same waters, but the practitioner, they know how to swim in this water. The other people, they end up drowning themselves. What can you do? Right? So if you have developed that ability, then you realize these thoughts, these emotions, I don't have to give that much value to them. Instead, you are repetitively grounded to your body. As a habitual behavior, you are grounded to your body. And the pressure you get from these thoughts, emotions, they become less and less. Some people, they ask the question, how can I function if I don't think? How can I function if I don't get emotional? That is a popular question, right? Not from a beginner. Maybe it's from some people who have practiced halfway or something like that, right? So they ask, how can I function? I have to think so much. I have to deal with these things so much. How can I function without these thoughts? How can I function without these emotions? That way you think. But in a way, we are not totally discarding the thoughts or emotions. We are simply reducing the value a bit. That's all we are doing. We are not getting rid of them. Instead, we reduce the value that we have given to them. And when you reduce it, you can really see these thoughts, emotions, they become useful at times, but you don't have to torture yourself with them. You don't have to plan so much, right? And the practitioner, they realize nothing happens according to the plans that we have done. That's some deep realization, you know. Things happen mostly not according to the plans. Right? Without planning, sometimes you do things and they happen perfectly. Those type of experiences will come when you let go of these thoughts, emotions, when you reduce the value that you have given to them. And with that change, your life will be much more simpler. Your life will be much more peaceful. So that's the very idea of this topic. And as I mentioned earlier, the very root of these mental illnesses, they are the thoughts, emotions, overrating our own thoughts, emotions, giving so much weight, priority to the thoughts, emotions. if you want to improve your mental health, it is simple. The way is to ground yourself into the body. Repetitively do that. When you do that, you releases the grip of these thoughts, emotions. And when it releases, your mind relaxes, your body relaxes, right? Even within few minutes of practice, you can see that even the facial expressions change. Again, they feel like this life is worth living, right? So that's the idea. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante, and much more to a very insightful talk on this topic of thoughts and emotions. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up. I would like to invite Sonali to conduct the session. I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. We will now start the Q&A, and before that, we will go through the beginner's guide as usual. So for this, we've got two videos that Mr. Nwane has produced. If anyone wants to have a refresher or pass it on to your friends, we will put all these details on the chat. And if you want to write to us and ask, we will write you an email with all these details as well. And there are two videos. One's about mindful walking and mindful sitting is the next one. Once you watch these two, set aside some time to start practicing and start developing your own practice. And we recommend you build it up to 2 hours of each of these practices. And once you have experienced it yourself, then we would like to hear from you to see in a write it all down in a reflection report, much like the ones that we're going to read next to you. We will then present it to Bhante and get his feedback and guidance on your experience, and you could then develop it further. You can write to us via the Google form or via email. We'll put all these details in the chat in a little bit. And the email is beginnersnv@gmail.com, and the link is there for the Google form. And we also have all of these available on to download to listen later. And this is on the Nisarnamaneya website. And the links are again shared on the chat section, as well as it will be available on the Nisarnamaneya website. Now we will move on to this week's report. We've received two reports. I will start with the first one. Starts off with the mindfulness of the day. Noted severe pain in one shoulder on waking up. Watching mind immediately recognized the worry that arose briefly. This passed as the next thought recognized it as just an unpleasant pain that is not permanent and had risen with cause and conditions coming in the place that there was no control over it, its arising or passing away. The mind calmed immediately, noted difficulty lifting the arm without supporting it with another hand, decided to watch the changing nature of the pain and noted how the pain shifted, which positions made it worse, continued using arm as best as possible. This condition on and off for 3 days, and on third day, pain had disappeared. No painkillers were taken during this time, and then mind not aware would try using arm and severe pain arising with mind taking the pain as an object. Sitting meditation. Watching breath as primary object after adjusting body posture and noting symmetrical sitting position, mind observed breath more prominent on right nostril, warmer, longer out-breaths, shorter in-breaths. Mind shifted to thoughts, went back to breath. Then noted pains, sounds, kept going to breath. Noted heartbeat, breath became subtle in swinging motion, disappeared and reappeared after short time. Distortion of nose and perception of angle of air entry changed. Noted air entry more prominently on left after a while. Meditated for 45 minutes. walking meditation. Noted placing of each foot, heel, midfoot and toe. Lifting and when no contact with the floor, the ending of the lift. Thoughts, sights, sounds noted, at times distracting, but mind kept coming back to the feet. Noted that attempt to avoid the insects, the preference of mind to walk on non-muddy paths, the ground becoming less muddy as the sun fell on the ground, walked for 1 hour. With much gratitude to Banthi and the organizers, that is the end of report, Banthi.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now, this report, we can relate to the same topic that we are discussing. And as you mentioned, that when some illness comes, when pain comes, right, how much we worry in our minds. When something goes wrong, how much struggle we do in our mind. This is the very nature of mind. So in your report, you see waking up, feeling the pain, the mind starts worrying. You have to give the idea to it, saying that this should be okay. You don't have to worry so much, right? Why? Because the habitual worrying is there. Now imagine some other person might go to the hospital, might consult a doctor. He will say it's not a big issue, just let it be. Then he's not happy with this doctor's opinion. He may go find another person. So this is how we live our lives, right? At least let the sickness come. If it is serious, if you need assistance, of course you can go later. As soon as it appears, you try to start worrying, finding a solution quickly to solve this matter, and you end up suffering so much in your mind. Same goes when something goes wrong. When something goes wrong, again the same process happens. We want to fix this as soon as possible. Even the world has to stop till we fix this matter. Right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. And again, struggling, suffering in their minds, and even the surrounding people, they suffer. The family members, friends, they do suffer. Right? So this is the usual behavior. This is the usual behavior. But in your mind, you tell it, no, it is not necessary. I'll bear this and see. Sometimes the sickness comes. If you don't worry about it too much, it will go away within a couple of days. You don't even notice that it has gone away, right? Because you weren't so much concerned about it, right? This body, as long as we are having a body, we have to deal with pain. We have to deal with daily friction. Those things are there. There might be some cause for the pain, right? Maybe it'll go away. Maybe you'll have to get some treatment. That's fine. But this worrying part, I'm pointing at. Again and again, we are worrying so much trying to solve this, right? So this is the very nature of our minds. That's why most people, when they get an illness, maybe a permanent illness, something like that, towards their midlife, right? They end up surrendering to this illness, and they think this is it, right? So they have given up, they have surrendered to this illness because they are worrying so much in their minds. It's not the illness that kills them. It's the worrying part. That's how it is. Even this funny thing, getting a snake bite. The main cause for death is worrying, getting anxious, fear of dying, So those are the main causes of death, not the poison itself. That's the funny thing, right? Even with a poison, a venomous snake, if you stay calm, the poison won't spread so much. But if you get anxious, even a non-venomous snake can kill you, right? You'll get a heart attack worrying about this and you'll die. The snake is non-venomous, right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. That is the behavior of our mind, right? So you have to let go of all these worryings, let go of thinking thoughts, let go of giving so much control to your mind, and simply train yourself repetitively. Now, in this case, you have done it successfully, and we are happy to hear it. Still, you had to tell your mind that they should be okay and need not worry. Right? You had to tell your mind. But with repetitive training, imagine a day there's an illness or sickness in your body. This worrying doesn't come. The sickness will be there for a couple of days. And when the time is right, it'll disappear. No worrying part was there, right? So that type of a change will happen. That is the real thing. That is the real practice. Still, you have to give this suggestion to your mind, right? But a later day, you won't even notice. You simply accept it as a part of your bodily sensations. You simply live with it for a couple of days. And maybe it will go away after a few days, right? So that is where the practice will lead you. Still, in your mind, you have to suggest. It is habitually worrying. But imagine a day where the mind is habitually not worrying. That day will come with repetitive practice. That is the very idea, right? The pain comes. You are not moved. Pain stays for a couple of days. You are not moved. The pain goes away. You are not moved. Right? So that acceptance will develop with time. This is the same process. This is the same process. I am not against, you know, getting necessary medical care. Right? You can go and take it when necessary. But in this situation, you can see for a couple of days, you stayed with it and it disappeared. If it didn't disappear, of course, you can go and take some medicine. That's fine, right? So that's the very idea. Without this worrying part, we function. Without this worrying part, we either the body either heal itself, or after a few days, we go take some medicine. Without that worrying part. That's the very idea. Now, even in the animal kingdom, they say that the elephants, when the death is near, they go to this special location. They simply lie down, graciously accepting the death. Right? So, even the animals, they have that nature. Elephants, they are extremely intelligent. So they go, they simply lie down, graciously accepting. Imagine humans dying. They scream, they go to different places, they pray for God, right? So many things they are doing somehow to live forever. That's not possible, right? So instead, imagine if you can also graciously accept the death when it is near. That's the very idea. You don't have to suffer so much. Simply accepting. That acceptance will come only with the repetitive training. Otherwise, always this worrying part is there. Right? Automatically, we worry. But with repetitive training, you can see even the worrying part goes away. Now you don't have to do anything about it. You simply, the pain comes, you are not moved. The pain says you are not moved. The pain goes away, you are not moved. That's the very idea. Right? We can graciously accept whatever the pain or the illness or even the death. That training we have to do for so many years we have to do, then only we'll be ready to face these things like that manner, in that manner. Right? So thank you for sharing. This really goes with today's topic as well. For an illness, how much we worry in our mind. For a snake bite, if it happens, how much fearful will us become? Go through an accident, facing an accident, our heart race, our heartbeat rises just because of the accident, not that we are injured, right? So this is how we are. This is how we are. But with repetitive training, you can get rid of that worrying part and it'll help you to accept whatever that comes your way graciously. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. There's another report received. I will move on to that one. Mindful sitting. Sat on the low stool, attention soon moved to breath. First in and out breath around nostrils, and then subtle breath arose and rise and fall of stomach noticed. Some pressure points of body noted. Breath noted around nostrils again. Peacefulness in mind. Not sure if sounds heard. Thoughts from recent past appeared. Observed when proliferation started with random thoughts that arose. At this point, the storytelling fell away. Calmness in mind and stillness in body felt. Breath was subtle. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. It was interesting to notice the beginning of transition in mind at the end of 3-week holiday in Sri Lanka. Last day was reserved for packing, checking weight of luggage and other practical tasks. Woke up that day and noted that much of the thoughts were about getting to airport the following day, about returning home, the weather at present there, and starting work again. While this transition in mind was taking place, the body was totally in Sri Lanka. That mindfulness showed that the body is usually in the present and that the mind lives in past. Future and only part of the time in present. This transition of mind was also there with planning of trips during the holiday, but realized that these were felt or noted much less. It was much more highlighted with the activity of leaving the country. Then another observation showed that the familiar agitation of packing or making sure everything that would fit in the luggage or that weight would be within a loved range was not taking place. These were not ignored and experienced more focus and less anxiety, which was calming. Having returned and started working the following day, the so-called jet lag had no space to take hold. Many mentioned it would take a few days for the body clock to readjust, but this time it felt seamless. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Yeah, that sounds the proper way to enjoy a real vacation, right? Otherwise, you are planning for the vacation, worrying about getting there on time. Then in between, you worry about some other things. And at the end of the day, you are worried about returning, right? So in your report, without this worrying part, without these planning parts, it seems like the way to enjoy a proper vacation. That's the very idea. These things you can flow from one activity to another without much friction. You can stay a couple of weeks here, then go back to your country and function without much trouble. Right? So that's the very difference that we are aiming for. That's the very idea of the practice. Most people, they create huge gaps in between these things, stressing themselves, planning themselves, right? Now, in your experience, you are, of course, you did the necessary things, but there wasn't so much planning involved. That is the change that was there. That change is really impactful, right? You do your things, you function, you show up on time, but without much hustle. That's the very training. That's the very idea. And it sounds like the way to enjoy a vacation. Otherwise, as vacations also, we have a totally different scales of worrying, totally different scales of planning. It'll be much simpler, much easier to stay at home without going on vacation when we think about the planning and the worrying part. The stress of traveling, stress of making on time, right? Stress of changing these situations, right? So those things, when we consider, it'll be much more pleasant to stay at home. But if you train yourself, if you know the practice, if you have progressed in the practice, you know that you can come to Sri Lanka for a couple of weeks, stay here without much hustle, then again go back to the country, start walking. That's the proper way of traveling. That's the proper way of enjoying a vacation. Otherwise, we are in a beautiful place, but worrying in our mind, planning in our mind, missing the miracle of the present moment. Yeah, that happens to most of the people. So we are glad to hear it. This way you continue to train yourself again and again. With time, it'll be much more smooth. The flow would be much more smooth even than the current experience. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. Next, we have, that's the end of the reports. Next, I think we have time for question and answers. If anyone has any questions regarding the practice that we did earlier or the talk on the topic today, or any of the questions, this is the time to raise your hand and ask the question. I can't see any hands raised. I think maybe we can count this as... Oh, there is a question, is it? Namantha? Is there a question or were you trying to take over?
Take over.
Okay. Well, we'll call it the end of the session then. Over to you, Namantha.
Okay. Thank you, Sonali. Much thanks to you and much thanks to Bhante and thank you. So today we are approaching the end of another session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And I would like to thank Venerable Bhante for his kind participation and effort in providing us with great insights and value in today's session. And we wish Bhante long life and great health and also the ability to achieve Bhante's own objectives in this path of Dhamma. Furthermore, I would like to thank the Venerable Chief Bhante, Most Venerable Audiregama Dhammajiva Mahathera for his insightful request to actualize this program in this manner. And I would wish him well in his own path in Dhamma. And then I would like to also mention and thank the whole team of organizers who are behind this program and wish them good results in mindfulness practice. And I would also like to thank all of you who have joined today's session. Thank you for joining, and your joining into the session makes our purpose successful. And I hope that today's learnings will be established in your mind and you will be able to reap many benefits by applying these learnings and teachings from today's session. And our program will continue next week at the same time, on the same date, that is Sri Lankan time at 1 p.m., wherever you are located. And then I would like to wish you all will wish that all of you will be able to join. And until then, have a very nice and mindful week ahead. And we will see you in a week and hope mindfulness will help you in all your endeavors for the entire week. See you again. Thank you.